Welcome to the C3SYD Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit our website, c3syd.church. Wherever you're listening from right now, we pray that this message will bless you.
Wonderful. So good to be here. Oh, so good to see you. Look at you. You look amazing this morning. Absolutely incredible. Yeah, you may be seated, welcoming all of our locations all around the city. Penrith, so good to hear. Can you give us a shout? Wow, that's loud, right? All the way from Penrith. Warunga, Mossman, so good to have you guys with us. Manly, Avalon, so glad to have you here on this wet day. We should not be complaining about our prayers getting answered, right? What a great thing. All the fires are pretty well out now. There's one this morning in Canberra, and it's still... And it's just great to have all of our guests in our congregations. Welcome. So glad you could make it today. And at Parramatta, God bless you out there. And Marylands and Bankstown, so good to have you on board with us in this sunny, liquid sunshine. Easter, well, not Easter yet, but I was thinking about Easter because coming up, we have our 40th anniversary since we started with 13 people in 1980, down on the DY Surf Life Saving Club, and I was 28, and my wife was 4. And and out of that, today there's about 120,000 people worshiping in our congregations this morning around the world. So praise Jesus for that. But I believe that we are beginning into a whole new season of life, health, and growth, expansion. I mean, 40 years is a significant moment in biblical history. And if this has been 40 years in the wilderness, then I can't wait for Canaan. Amen. It's going to be absolutely astonishing. So as we get ready for that, we're making a couple changes, getting ourselves ready. One of them is that over the years, we have had the concept of build a big church and people will come. But in the last 10 years or so, the concept of multi-site churches has emerged and become a far more viable way to reach a city. And I would like to see 100 locations of our of this congregation around the city of Sydney. Currently, we have 11. And we are live broadcasting, live streaming to you this morning. And we would anticipate that this is only going to increase. However, it has, even though that's a solution on one hand, it's created a difficulty on another, which is our name. So we can't be saying, hey, we're C3 Oxford Falls Silverwater, or we're C3 Oxford Falls Avalon, or we're C3 Oxford Falls Roselle. And God bless you, Roselle. Good to have you on board with us this morning. Mitch and Rebecca, we love you guys. And so we decided, we sat down and over the last year have been considering what kind of name we would get that would unify us as one unit across the city. Many of our congregations have done this that are in C3. We have C3 Believe, C3 Reach, C3 Powerhouse, C3, all kinds of thematic names, themes. And that was the thought that we'd go that way. But as we thought about it, prayed about it more and more, we realized that the vision has always been this city. And that is why we started Sydney, a city for Christ. And so we thought really it would be good to encapsulate that in the name that we are spreading locations all over the city for. And so we've ended up with this, C3SYD, people. Amen. That's who you are. You're C3SYD in Avalon, in Manly, Roselle, with that location after it. And to explain it a little further, Pat and Amanda, our executive pastors, are going to bring us a little quick video. Thanks.
Sydney, it's our calling, our home, and our roots. It was a call to Sydney that pastors Phil and Chris felt in the 1970s.
It has always been about Sydney, beginning with one location, Oxford Falls, and now many locations. From Avalon to Bankstown, Penrith to Manly, our vision is Sydney, a city for Christ.
We created a conference called Presence right in the heart of Sydney. We established a platform for giving to those in need called Love Sydney. Sydney is a part of our identity, our mission, and our heart. Our vision for the people of Sydney is that they would know Jesus, that they would find community, and that they would discover purpose.
We are one church in many locations across Sydney. We are.
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 C3SYD.
Hey, people. C3SYD. Josh Kelsey has also captured that idea with C3NYC. And just like he's not calling his C3 Nick, we're not calling our C3 Sid. So don't go there. Otherwise, it sounds like, you know, one of the bookies down at Randwick on a Saturday. Oh, Sid, put 20 on banana for me, would you? and so C3SYD, can you say that with me? C3SYD. That's who we are from here on in, so that we haven't got this clumsy way of trying to describe ourselves. And I'm so thrilled that we've got a singular name that we can move forward with. And this is part of a preparation for another 40 years of huge, huge expansion. And the Bible calls us aliens, like in this world. And it's a great thing to be called an alien, because all the movies I've ever seen about aliens is that they only have one idea in mind, and that's world domination. And you and I are getting ready for some of the greatest years of our lives. Let me prophesy. Great growth is coming all over our locations, from Avalon to Manly to Roselle, out to Penrith to Parramatta to Wirunga. All of our locations will experience an increase. But I've got to tell you that I believe that that increase is conditional. I believe that it is a premise that we must build on. And I want to talk about that here this morning. Originally, we would have a vision day where we would project the goals that we had for that particular year. We'd give a report about where we had been. But I see that as the fruit of what we're talking about. And I would, over the last couple of years, I wanted to go deeper and look more at the root of what we're about, rather than trying to describe the fruit that we're going to achieve. Because if we're just trying to achieve fruit and ignore the roots of that life, we'll find that fruit will wither and die. And the branches will wither and die. And so this morning, I want to talk about the very deepest part of that preparation, that spiritual preparation that we can have for the next 40 years. And it's a subject that isn't talked about a lot, but I'll get to it soon after I've read this scripture in Luke 3:4. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." Can you all say that with me? Prepare the way of the Lord. Okay, and make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Can you say that last one with me? And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. That's the end result of these previous conditions being met. All flesh will see the salvation of God when the paths of the Lord are prepared and repaired, and his paths are made straight, and every valley is filled, and every mountain and hill brought low, crooked places made straight, and rough places made smooth. What happens at the end of that? All flesh sees the salvation of God. And that is talking about John the Baptist, who had one message, and it was repent. He had one message, and it was get your lives right with God, and because he's coming. And the inference is, if we don't, he won't. But if we do, he will. And sometimes I think that we are wanting to skip this point. All of us would like to skip this point because it's the uncomfortable one, and get to the victory. And sometimes we're talking about victory and freedom as a theory, as an idea, as an imagination. But it's not something that is actually real in our lives, because something has to happen before we get to that point. And getting ready for God is creating pathways that he can land on. In the days in which this passage was being written, there were very few roads throughout the land. And the ones that were there were used every day by everyone for everything. So cattle and carts and people, and then floods would come and rains would come and people would spill rocks on the road. So they could become really rugged places to try and travel on. But when the king sent out an announcement, "I'm coming to your town," everybody had to get out there and make sure that that road was ready, that the bridges were repaired, and that ways that had be made crooked would be made straight, and plain and rough places would be smooth, so that King wouldn't be bouncing around in his carriage. So, and if the road wasn't ready, the army and the king wouldn't be coming. And I'd like to think that our heartbeat, that our vision is a desire for God to come, for him to visit us. Not for us just to have exciting meetings, not for us to have novel messages and a new way of doing something, but actually to have God himself come and be with us and all flesh to discover real salvation. Not for them to just come and make a decision and then get a bit of counseling and a bit of follow, but so that they have an internal transformation because of an encounter with the real God. And I don't want to be talking about an empty religion and just some ideas that are echoes from other people's experiences. But I want you to know there is a real God. And if you've just imagined or supposed or hoped he's there, listen to my message from last week, because your encounter with him will highlight any areas that need to be actually made straight. Will highlight any areas. I'm not going to play God with people and tell them they can't do this and they're not allowed to do that anymore. I've found that when God comes into a person's life, he at the right time will do the right thing in their life and alert them to something that they need to resolve, or some issue that they need to make right, or a person they need to actually reconcile with. And God is able to do that. But if we can create a space that God can land in, and I believe these ways prepare the way of the Lord, it covers at least three areas, and that is this, which I'm talking about this morning, which is repentance, confession, forsaking, and believing. It's a one package pathway to freedom and peace for anybody. The second great point is unity, the unity of believers, where they were all with one accord in prayer, like we're going to be doing this coming week with prayer and fasting. When that unity was there, the Spirit of God fell. And the last one was consecration, when people put their lives on the altar. And we slip off that altar, so to come back and to say, Lord, my life is yours. I've been reclaiming some of it back, but I want to come back at the beginning of this year and get the roots of my life in good order, so that the fruit is going to be just fine. And if your eyes are on fixing the roots, you're going to find fruit comes pretty easily. You don't have to strain and struggle to try and get registrations, to have people come to this and do this and make that happen. There is a desire, a compelling magnetic attraction about the presence of God that is irresistible. And if we are able to create that environment, it becomes a drawing power in our whole city for people to be drawn into the kingdom of God and come to Christ, not because they're argued into the kingdom, but because there's a conviction from the presence of the Holy Spirit. And for us to prepare that place, I have found preparation is the one area that most humans would like to avoid. When we first bought our house, Chris and I, in 46 Sherbourne Street in Christchurch, New Zealand, it needed a bit of a paint. Paint was flaking off areas. The guttering had blotchy paint on it, and it just needed a paint job. And I thought, I'll go down and buy a can of paint and paint the house. I go down, and on the lid, it had removed flaky paint, sand so that the next coat can take, replace worn wood, and it was just a little sentence. I thought, how hard could all that be? So it's one sentence that, like 18 months later, I go down the hardware store, I buy a ladder, and I got a little cork block, and you wrap sandpaper around it. I went up the ladder, and I go, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And I looked at the size of the house. I thought, this is going to take forever. I thought, okay, I'll go down and get myself one of those rotary, like, grinders and put some sand on that, sandpaper on that. I get up the ladder, I go, and it just goes, like, through five boards, deep grooves all through it. And sure, I got rid of the paint, but half the wood went with it. And I'm on the ladder and being taken over on the ladder, and the wires are going around the grinder. I thought, okay, there's got to be another way than that. So I went down and got a belt sander, one that just, you know, you put it on, you're doing this. And then I looked at it and I thought, still, this is going to take too long. So I went, is there any quicker way? And the guy said, I got just the thing for you, a flamethrower. So you light this flamethrower and you scrape the paint as it is all bubbling and melting. I thought, wow, this is great. I'm getting through this plank real quick. I'm on the second plank and I look down and there's smoke coming up out of the house. There are bits of this going down on the inside of the house and starting to fire. And I'm going like, I can't win. So I'm back up on the thing. Preparation, it takes longer. And then it said, replace wood that's rotten. And I'm going around with my finger pushing on the wood. And there were way too many soft spots. My finger was going through every second board. I thought, no. So I go down, I buy all these planks. And I learned then the carpenter's rule of thumb is measure twice, cut once. Why? I was on the measure once and cut three times program. And never, the finally I figured it out. We got the boards matching. Then it said prime. So what's prime mean? You buy this orange paint. And so by the end of the exercise, my house looked like it was in the army. It looked like it had camo on all over. And so I'm... But this is like 18 months later. And finally, I got to put the paintbrush in the paint can. And Papa, it was over in 3 days. It was done. I thought it was only going to take 3 days to get this thing right. But there was all this preparation. But the problem is, if I ignored all that and I just go ahead and paint it all, and I got this nice glossy Christian life over all this rotting wood and flaky paint on the inside, it's going to fall apart. And I wonder why some believers' lives fall apart and why some believers can't make it through the 40 years and don't make it to the end. And I think to myself often when I look at a young believer, I say, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if they're dealing with those issues that will torpedo them. It'll be a crack in the foundation. And when the earthquake comes, the whole thing comes crumbling down. We have got to make sure that we have created pathways in our lives that create a solid life, that are immovable and unshakable for when the future comes. So this is called repent. It's not a greatly popular word, not even amongst churches or preachers. We'd rather say, let's heal people of their disorders. We've redefined sin. We don't like to call it sin. It's a disorder. It's a DNA glitch. Somebody messed the code up. A hack has got in the system and we're not really responsible. I can't help myself. It echoes out of the Garden of Eden. The devil made me do it. It's somebody else's fault. It's not a new problem. I mean, we often think, oh, this is a whole... No, Adam was right into it. The woman you gave me, she made me do it. It's your fault and her fault. And then she's not into accepting any responsibility. She's, no, it's not my fault. He made me do it. That serpent thing there. And so it's a human condition that we don't enjoy the experience of accepting responsibility for a mess. We want to blame our parents. It was their fault, which is convenient until you're a parent. it's incredibly convenient until and then to redefine sin in our culture and to not even then to legitimize it, decriminalize it, and then legislate so that it's law and you're considered wrong if you oppose the legitimizing of wrong. But in the process, we're destroying people's lives. And somebody has to say something, people, so I'm just here as your pastor trying not to be a delinquent preacher and tell you, really, guys, we've got to define those things that our conscience is bothered about and bring them into the light, because then they will get dealt with. As long as we are skirting the issue and we try to avoid it and we don't come into the light, we are powerless. We don't have a landing pad for God, because that dove will not settle on unclean things. That dove doesn't come down on a troubled life. It comes down on something that's come to rest when all those dissonances between us and the Father have been brought into the light, and He will do what He can do when we've done what we can do. He cannot repent for us, and we can't cleanse our souls. When we repent, He cleanses. But he doesn't come and do that until we actually surface it and bring it into his presence. So the little pathway is repent, confess, forsake, and believe. It's a simple pathway. It takes us all the way to freedom and to peace, but primarily that comes out of being connected with God. The other things that separate us, isolate us from him, isolate us from other people, and even isolate us from ourselves. And bonding can't take place. I got a message about relationships and bonding that I am so looking forward to sharing, because it is essential to the human soul to be nourished by relationships that we bond with. And so many people are living in emotional isolation. But part of that is because of what I am talking about here, that we have found ourselves cut off. The way back is to repent, which means I accept responsibility. I'm not going to shift it. Our heart has got all sorts of slippery little ways of saying, oh, it's just a small thing. Happened so long ago. Everybody does it. It's acceptable. It's legal. And so there's all kinds of things we can say to try and justify a position we know is not doing us any good. And then to actually come into that uncomfortable area of accepting it, we can feel embarrassed. But that's not a bad thing, because we'll sing the song, he took away my shame. But if we haven't gotten, there's none to take away. Then sometimes accepting the fact that we are guilty, it might be an unpleasant emotional experience. But once we've done that, the power of the blood of Jesus actually can remove the stain and demolish that shame and evaporate that sense, so that we are fully bold, confident, and set free in the presence of God. There are illnesses in the human frame, in our psychology, in our emotions, in our body sometimes, that come from unresolved issues at the roots. But if we're just applying therapy and pills and stuff to the fruit and fix it up with a Band-Aid sometimes, we might even solve it and we get it off the branch, but another one's going to emerge. Eventually the axe has to come, and we find ourselves actually coming before God and getting healing at that level. 2 Chronicles 7:14, famous scripture, says, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, which is fasting and praying, which we're doing this coming week, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I thought you said they're your people. If my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways. A wicked way is a way that is wrong, that is unresolved, that we have not turned from. The righteous will all stumble. But when you do this, it makes you a righteous person. You deal with it. But when we don't deal with it, we hide it, we're going to find it actually eats like termites under our soul. Acts 3:17 says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. We love that last part. Oh, times of refreshing, people. We're going to have a conference with times of refreshing. The whole thing's called times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. We love to have that, but we miss out the first part, which guarantees that there's an outpouring of showers. God's intention is not to make you feel guilty. It's to get you set free from it. It's not to make you feel bad and to condemn you. It's actually to remove that fruit out of your life. But it will die as soon as the roots of the situation are fixed. And then this confession, as soon as we repent, God accepts. Look at the prodigal. He could hardly get the words out of his mouth. And the father was hugging him. All he needed to do was turn and say, God, I'm returning. And maybe you this morning. All you got to do is turn. It's okay. I surrender. I'm on my way back. And then confess, which can be difficult to admit to a thing, even to ourselves, and live in denial, which is a preferable place for comfort. But it doesn't leave us with that house being painted and staying like that. We're just glossing over something. So we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us. You can stand on that scripture and say, this is what I'm standing on today. that as I unload before the Lord, I'm going to find myself creating a pathway for God. The end result is Sydney coming to Christ. All flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. The third one is forsaking. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Hey, guys, it's pretty quiet out there this morning. You're still there, right? Manly, you still with us? Avalon, yeah. I know it's Surgeon Phil this morning. Just stay there with me. Believe me. If I only had one message to preach, it'd probably be this one, because this is the beginning of how people connect with God. I don't know any other way. And we're living in a world that's trying to deny this and remove it, but this is the way that applies to the human condition. It's a key and a lock that unlocks the door for all the blessing of heaven. Isaiah 55, 7, let the wicked forsake his way. So I've repented, I've confessed, but now I forsake. I determine I'm leaving that. I'm walking away from whatever that is. And let me say this. All of us think that sin instantly is immorality of some kind. It is, but it's not just that. I mean, Adam ate an apple. It's not sinful to eat apples, people. You go right ahead, eat as many apples as you like. But when you've been told by God, don't eat the apple, that's when it's a problem. When we're doing something that we were told, don't do that, or when we're not doing something that we were told to do, that these are dead works in our lives. And the Bible says, repent from dead works. That's the part of the foundation for a year ahead of blessing. Get those things out that are going to resist and neutralize the blessing of God coming on your world. And it says, let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God and he will abundantly pardon. Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Mercy comes the minute we say, I'm out of this, Lord. And that's when power comes to enable you to live in victory above whatever has been troubling you, whatever you've found has gotten a hold of you. And so we got to start believing. 1 John 1:9, as I finish here, Wirunga, so good to have you this morning with us. And Penrith, way out there, so glad the fires have stopped and you're no longer under threat. Today, as we look towards a new year with a new name and a new decade, two decades, four decades ahead of us, I am believing that we will lay a foundation that the immense blessing of God can fall on unhindered and not just play pretend Christianity, but actually be men and women of God. Men and women of great faith. And I know that you can't get the faith if you're living with a troubled conscience. You can't get vision with a fractured mind, because we are living in a day when everybody has got these troubles in their head and troubles in their emotions. And often it's simply because there are unresolved issues at the roots. And if we can resolve those issues and bring people into that, they'll find themselves in a relationship, an abandoned relationship, an unrestricted relationship with the Father in heaven. And out of that, you're walking tall with boldness in your soul and a clear vision of the future, and you're in connection with power from on high. I'm believing that every one of us, as men and women of C3CSYD, will walk tall throughout this city and find ourselves be walking God units, carrying the Father into people's lives so powerfully in Jesus' name. 1 John 1:9, let me say it one more time. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we believe the scripture, and if we've got anything in any of our lives, friends, let me say this, let's deal with it this week. Let's resolve it before we move into this year. If you've been playing with something that's pleasurable, but you know it's bothering you, it's in your conscience, or if you're being enticed into some other area, or if you're feeling like you haven't done, let's resolve those things and get right and be right before the Lord. And you're going to find yourself creating a pathway that God will be on your case in a million miles an hour to bring blessing, to bring strength, to bring victory and liberty in Jesus' mighty name. Let me pray for you all over our locations right now before I hand the meeting back. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will touch every one of us in C3SYD, and you'll help us have the courage to come into the light and to sense and know the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your grace leading us this way. And I pray for every one of our people and our leaders and our pastors throughout all of our locations in Sydney, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Your location pastor will take the meeting back right now. And God bless you. Give them all a big hand, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. We invite you to follow us at c3syd.oxfordfalls on Instagram and Facebook, or join us at church for one of our services this Sunday at 8:30, 10, and 6. Have a great week.